Speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just checking a technology question. We okay for sound? We're all right? Good. First lesson of the gospel, do not mess with Mama Bear. If one of a mother's children is in crisis, they will say and do anything to protect them. How many of you know that to be true? Anybody awake? Just checking. Do not mess with Mama Bear. And when Mama Bear believes that the source of healing is in Jesus Christ, she will do anything in a faith community to ensure that that happens, including finding the best doctors and surgeons, medical care. We are about to experience Mama Bear gone crazy. School starts soon. We were sitting with a Mama Bear the other night. Her child is going to school for the very first time. We believe she's interviewed everyone on staff, including the caretaker, just to make sure that her child can make his way from the front door to the classroom and back outside at the end of the day without any problem. She has prepared for the teaching staff and the principal, vice principal, and the assistants in the office a complete list of everything that is necessary and required for that particular child. And my response to her doing all of that was the appropriate response for any man. I said nothing. Don't mess with Mama Bear. Parents who love their children will do anything to find healing in their lives. And Jesus recognized that. You got to admit, he was a little edgy when she asked for help. He must have been having a bad day. You know, when you are dealing with someone fully human and fully divine, you're going to get some human responses. And so basically he said to her, "You're annoying me." He told Mama Bear she was annoying. He's lucky he still has his head. She was not only faithful and dedicated, she had tenacity, and she would not give up. And he recognized all of that instantaneously and granted the healing that she requested. Now, the second healing in the passage is a little more complicated, but let's establish this. If we know nothing about the gospel for sure, we know this. When Jesus shows up, healing happens. We know that's true, which is why so many of you are continuing to say to me, when can we reinstate the healing mass? You need to know that I went so far as to consult with an expert, which was easy because I live with her, and I said, I need to be able to anoint people and be 6 feet away. She said, I know where we can get animal Q-tips, which will allow you at least 3 feet of distance. The problem is that when I appealed the diocesan decision, they really do mean 6 feet. And there is Mama Bear in head office. Morning, Tanya. And when she's protecting her people, there's no compromise on the protecting. Thank God. We are blessed with them in our head office. And so we wait until it is safe for us in public settings. But let me say this morning as I unpack the gospel. If you are in the midst of an illness and you need anointing and healing, please call the office. I will come to your home. We are able to do it in private. Do not hesitate to ask. I would be happy to come to your home. Let's unpack the second half of the gospel in the time that I am limited with this morning. And that is, we have somebody that shows up and he can't hear anything. It's not that he's not listening. He honestly can't hear. He's not ignoring her, whoever her is. He honestly can't hear. And he's got what they called an imprisoned tongue. This is an interesting term, don't you think? It means it's not free to speak an imprisoned tongue. So let's talk about the ears first. Jesus has a unique way of doing this. He takes them off into a private setting. It's always good if you're offering somebody help if you're doing that in a private setting. There's no good accomplished by confronting somebody for things they cannot or will not hear or say or don't say that you decide is inappropriate. These things are always done best in private. And Jesus takes this individual off to the side in private, and then he does a couple of very bizarre things. He takes his fingers and he puts them in the person's ears. Now, I happen to know that one of the really bad jokes in our culture, and this is just profoundly gross, is that people lick the edge of their finger and then they put it in somebody else they know's ears. That's rude. I hate that. It's enough to make a preacher swear. But in this particular case, he places his fingers in their ears, and I think it's more of a signal to the crowd. His ears are blocked. He can't hear. And then, of course, he spits. This is interesting. And he touches the person's tongue. I mean, that's just gross, right? From our perception 2,000 years later. But in the healing moment, something sacred and holy happens, and the tongue is released and the ears are opened. Theologically, let's talk about what that means 2,000 years for you and I. Is there a chance that there are moments in our lives where our ears are blocked? You know the story. The couple gets married. They're happily married for 50 years. The woman walks into the living room one day and stands in front of her husband with her hands on her hips, and she leans forward just a little bit. Some of you are experts at this. And says, "You haven't told me that you love me in a really long time." And the husband looks up and said, 50 years ago, we got married. I told you I love you. If things change, I'll let you know. But there are things that need to be spoken. Sorry. Anybody else have trouble with that? Yeah. Let me confess. I have trouble with that one. The other one I really have trouble with, and I always have, and I don't know why, is I love you. And the reason I have trouble with is who are you allowed to say that to? Am I allowed to say that to you? I mean, there's a few that expect it regularly. But am I allowed to say that to you? Can that be understood in the context in which it's delivered? We become a culture so sensitive about offending everybody that we end up responding in healthy ways to nobody. We need to re-examine that. What are the things that need to be spoken, and what are the things that don't need to be spoken? And making deliberate decisions about that every day as Christians. And then when it comes to hearing, remember a conversation in my house many, many years ago, and there's dialogue back and forth. Do you ever try and talk to somebody you love, and there's three or four walls between you, and you're hoping your voice carries, you know, with phrases like, "Coffee, please," or "I broke something"? Here's the reality of our experience. Sometimes we don't hear, but sometimes we choose not to hear. And most damaging in our culture, sometimes we don't hear, we know we're losing our hearing, and we refuse to admit it, and we live in a state where we cannot hear, rather than admit that our bodies are changing in such a way that we need assistance. Have you seen the new hearing aids? They're smaller than the tip of the nail on my baby finger. You know why I'm upset about this? Because they're hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and something that small, I'm going to lose by supper. We have all kinds of reasons and excuses for not hearing and for not speaking. And maybe the great spiritual challenge this week is to ask yourself this question. I'm suggesting you ask yourself this question because I have already, as I've been sharing with you this morning, seen three or four spouses elbow their partner right here this morning. And instead of pointing at them, let me just acknowledge this. If you really want to know, ask. If you don't want to know, then simply make the change. Because it's not about guilt and shame. Jesus wants us to be able to say those things that we should, to stop saying those things we should not, and to truly listen, because the key to all communication, as you well know, with vast more life experience than mine, the key to communication is listening. Amen.